Praise be Jesus and Mary. The Gospel tells the story of Jesus' rejection in Nazareth, the town where he grew up. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, as John the Evangelist says. His fellow villagers were singularly privileged to have Christ grow up in their midst, and yet they wound up being among the Jews who benefited least by his ministry. What went wrong? The Church wants us to think about this as part of our Lenten journey, so we don't make the same mistake. We have a great privilege in being Catholics and having many of us from our childhood, from our birth. But you know, will we draw all the benefits that we ought to from this faith? Will we draw the benefits that God wants to give us? Or will we make a mistake like those in, or like the villagers of Nazareth did? What led them to reject Jesus? One of the things that offended them was that Jesus did so many miracles elsewhere instead of doing them there in his hometown. So Jesus in the synagogue reminded them that this was nothing new in the history of Israel. He chose as examples the two Old Testament prophets whose lives most abound with stories of miracles. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in a foreign land. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Why did they do these miracles for the benefits of foreigners rather than their own people? St. Lawrence of Brindisi answers that this was not because Elijah or Elisha lacked the power or goodwill to help them, but because the people themselves were lacking faith. We see this contrast in faith quite clearly in the case of the widow of Zarephath. At that time, there was a drought that led to a famine. And through Elijah, God had imposed this punishment on Israel because it had put its trust in Baal. God was effectively saying, "See if your precious sky god can give you any rain when I don't." And thus, by this experience, they would learn that Baal was not God, but only the Lord was God. At first, Elijah lived in a wadi where there was still a little water left and ate food that a raven brought him. But when the water in the wadi dried up, God told him to go to the pagan city of Sidon, not to go to an Israelite city. There he providentially ran into a widow, whom he asked to make him something to eat. And she told him that she was getting ready to make one last meal with a handful of flour she had left, after which she expected to starve to death with her son. Elijah promised her in God's name that if she fed him, the little that she had left would last until the drought was over. She believed, did as he said, and God's promise was fulfilled. That handful of flour lasted through the years of drought. This is truly an outstanding faith. She believed the prophecy and put her life and her son's life on the line, even though the Lord was not worshipped by her people. Consider the contrast with the Israelites, who at that time did not even have enough faith in God to worship him alone. So Jesus' first example implies that if we want God to help us, we have to trust him. We have to have faith in his promises. The second case Jesus cites is the one we heard about in the first reading. Naaman trusted God, but not in an extraordinary way like the widow did, yet he still received a benefit. He suffered from a terrible disease that was considered a curse of the gods, something only they could deliver from. This is why the king of Israel reacted as he did to the letter asking him to have Naaman healed. He was being asked to do something that no human being could do. So Naaman understood that he needed divine help. The first thing that stands out in his story is how far he was willing to go to obtain that help. He made a long journey to a foreign country and was ready to pay a high price to obtain healing. But just as he was ready to be cured, he stumbled because he was asked to do something that was hard in a different way. It didn't call for perseverance and fortitude, but for humility. If he only needed to wash in a river, well, first of all, he was insulted by the fact that the prophet didn't even come out to talk to him. But if he only needed to wash in a river, he had better rivers at home. Why travel so far? Fortunately, his servants persuaded him to change his mind. So he did as he was asked, and his flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, that is, smooth and with no scars from disease or war. The fact that humility was key to his cure suggests that God allowed him to contract leprosy in order to heal him of pride. Quite, we can easily imagine that a great commander of men could become proud, and pride was a great obstacle to his salvation. Leprosy was a great humiliation. All that strength and cunning that had won him fame and power were useless against the disease. And he humbled himself a first time by acting on the advice of a little slave girl. He humbled himself a second and divisive time by washing in the Jordan. And now that he had overcome his pride, he could receive healing. The purpose for which God had allowed the disease had been fulfilled. Consider this in the light of what happened at Nazareth. The villagers were unable to accept that someone they knew personally as the humble son of a carpenter might have something to teach them. In that village, everybody knew everybody else. They knew everything about Jesus, or they thought they did, thanks to 30 years of gossip. Could he really be so different from the image they had formed of him? How could he pretend to teach them if he'd never even studied like the rabbis did? They were envious for themselves and for their town, and envy led them to anger. Naaman's cleansing is also a figure of baptism. The liturgy reminds us of this by choosing a responsorial psalm that has been used in baptismal liturgy since the first Christian centuries. Naaman washed in the Jordan, where one day Christ would institute the sacrament of baptism by being baptized himself. Sin is a kind of spiritual leprosy, and baptism removes every stain. It makes us like a little child, like Jesus, Mary's child. This figure of baptism invites us to reflect on how we receive the sacraments. They have the power to heal our soul, and in some cases our body as well, but they require faith, and faith presupposes humility. Pride, on the other hand, can lead us to reject God's plan to save us, because pride makes us think that we know better, that these sacraments are really nothing important at all. And so Naaman's pride almost ruined everything. But in order to get to that decisive point in which faith and humility could save him, he first needed to make a long journey. When he heard how he could be healed, he didn't procrastinate. He didn't send a messenger in his place. He immediately went in person and was ready to spend whatever it would take in order to receive healing. In response to the psalm, we said, "A thirst is my soul for the living God." And this thirst brings the pilgrim soul in the psalm, to the altar of God. So do you really thirst for God? Are you willing to go out of your way to receive the sacraments? This can become necessary, especially if you're traveling. How much effort do you put into preparation for Mass and confession? Do you even go to confession regularly? God wishes all people to be saved, yet many are lost because they make so little effort to overcome their faults and seek God's saving power. St. Lawrence of Brindisi compares that power to a fire lit to keep people warm. It offers warmth equally to all, yet not all receive it equally because some draw closer to others. Those who are cold ought not to blame the fire. Those who are in the dark are not in the dark because of the fault of the fire, but because they fail to draw near to the fire. So if you want to experience God's saving power, draw near to him by faith and humility. Be ready to make sacrifices to receive what he offers. Have a soul athirst and longing for the living God. Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Now. Amen.